Greetings, Sun Sounds listeners, and welcome to the Philosopher Program. This is your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. We begin our program with some daily selections from Science of Mind, Guide for Spiritual Living, and the theme this month is Nothing to be Healed. And the daily guides have been written by Reverend Dr. John Waterhouse. The currents of the universal being circulate through me. I am part and particle of God. Ralph Waldo Emerson. As we approach the 100th anniversary of Science of Mind magazine, this seems like a good time to experience Ernest Holmes' original words for what we now refer to as our Declaration of Principles. We begin this month's daily guides with an exploration of these principles with the intention of revealing their deep and profound meanings as the foundation of our faith. Holmes published What We Believe in the first issue of Religious Science, later Science of Mind, magazine, in October 1927. Over time, some words were changed to reflect gender-inclusive language, and Holmes' original I statements became we statements. We are using the same text here as appears in each issue of this magazine. For the remainder of the month, I offer some of my favorite Holmes quotes that have been touchstones over many years of studying and practicing Science of Mind. Reverend Dr. John Waterhouse has been a student of Science of Mind philosophy for more than 40 years. He and his wife, Reverend Dr. Barbara Waterhouse, founded CSL Asheville in 1995. He served two terms as president and field leader of CSL, and most recently as spiritual leader of CSL Fort Lauderdale. Waterhouse resides in South Florida, where he writes, produces a podcast, and speaks to spiritual communities on topics of spiritual awakening and mastering manifestation. He just released his third book, Spirit's Awakening, Reflections on a Spiritual Journey. The logical and necessary outcome. Whatever is in God, Spirit, the universe, and nothing can be or be conceived without God. Baruch Spinoza, Ethics, Part 1, Proposition 25. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. Ernest Holmes, What We Believe. And I pause for a moment to once again remind you to please substitute whatever word works for you as God, universe, spirit, the cosmos. With this principle, Holmes explains that everything we perceive, every form, all activity, and any other phenomenon seen or unseen, is the physical expression of divine presence. Consider how your body is the vehicle through which you express and experience life, but you are not your body. In the same way, the divine expresses and experiences everything through the form and function of the universe. By declaring that this is the logical and necessary outcome, he is explaining that the structure of the universe provides a mechanism through which divine presence expresses, experiences, and knows itself. Creation is not random or accidental. It is a result of an intelligent design beyond our understanding. The infinite self-knowingness of God is the most important aspect of this principle. It is through the experiential and relational aspects of its creation that God is infinitely self-aware. When I know you and you know me, when I am relating to you and you are relating to me, what is happening is God, Spirit, the universe, the cosmos, knowing and relating to itself. Affirmation. The divine presence expresses and experiences through all creation, including me. Forever and ever expanding. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. We believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the individual soul forever and ever expanding. Ernest Holmes, What We Believe. In this statement, Holmes expresses a core idea in his philosophy, that our divine essence is not limited to a single lifetime or to a fixed state of being. Each of us is a unique, enduring spiritual being with no beginning and no end. Let's look at each of these concepts separately. Eternality declares that we are not created at birth, nor do we cease to exist when our bodies die. We are a sustaining presence that transcends time. Holmes asserts that we are the same timeless life as is that which we call God. By claiming our immortality, he infers that we cannot cease to exist. Yes, our bodies change and eventually complete their journey, but that which we are continues. Death is only a point of transition along our ongoing journey of consciousness. Continuity offers a distinct and important nuance. We do not simply persist. We are constantly evolving. Our journey continues with experiences, awareness, and realizations beyond this lifetime in an ever-unfolding expansion of consciousness. His principle ends with forever and ever expanding, meaning life is not static, but rather forever moving toward higher consciousness and expression. Affirmation. I am an eternal being of love and light, now and always. And from the Daily Word, published by Unity, freedom. I celebrate my freedom to create my life. In God, I am free as a bird soaring in a wide open sky full of possibility. In that sacred expanse, I find an invitation to express my most authentic self, fully human and fully divine. The Spirit of God, the universe, the cosmos within releases me from my burdens and fears. Made in God's image and likeness, I have the power to create my life's experience and the freedom to choose how to think, feel, and act. I can let go of limiting beliefs and lean into the truth of who I am. I affirm, I am divine. As I take those words deep in my heart, I feel an opening within me. Lightness replaces heaviness as faith loosens my shackles of fear and hesitancy. I am free to live, love, and create my life anew. Interdependence. I am connected with all beings. We are one in God, Spirit, the universe. At our best, members of the human family rely upon and support one another. We give and receive. We help and are helped. We comfort and are comforted. I remember this if at times I feel alone in the world. Even if I'm tempted to cope with a difficult situation on my own, I will accept an offer of help if it comes. Likewise, if I see someone struggling, I will offer to lighten a load. With each interaction, I deepen my awareness of the infinite goodness in all people. I also express my spiritual nature more fully and easily as I communicate, cooperate, and contribute to the good of others and open my heart to receive. We belong to one another, united in our divinity and interdependent in our humanity. And from the bright side, quotes to inspire and empower from the editors of Guideposts. We often think that when God closes a door, that is his final answer. We put a period where God puts a comma. We think it's a no, but it's really a not yet. Mark Batterson, pastor and author. Team equals together everyone accomplishes miracles. Mark Victor Hansen, inspirational speaker. What we have in common is our vulnerability. It is the medium of contact between us, what we most fundamentally recognize in each other. Adam Phillips and Barbara Taylor, psychoanalyst and historian, from their book On Kindness. Listen, acknowledge, solve, thank. Sign above a register in a New York City cafe. Love of God makes so much sense to me when other things don't. Angela Bassett, actor. The next time you hear yourself say, yeah, but, ask yourself if you're describing a genuine obstacle that cannot be circumnavigated. If not, do exactly what your yeah, but says you shouldn't. Martha Beck, life coach and author. Turn your wounds into wisdom. Oprah Winfrey, TV producer and author. Sometimes God makes better choices for us than we could ever have made for ourselves. Jennifer Hudson Taylor, author. We return to Science of Mind for Louise Talon's monthly personal affirmations. Nothing to be healed. Magnificent. As the divine personified, you are a magnificent being just as you are right in this moment. Let your brilliant light shine, knowing you are a gift to the world. Affirm, I share my gifts with the world, knowing I am a magnificent expression of the divine. Delight. To paraphrase Psalm 118:24, this is the day the divine has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every moment is sacred, and we can find delight wherever we are, whether it's in the sound of a bird, the touch of a hand, the scent of a flower, or the sight of a loved one. affirm, "Today I find delight wherever I go. I rest in the goodness of spirit, knowing this day is sacred, this moment is holy." Compassion. Holmes wrote, "Compassion is the most gentle of all human virtues, for it is the outpouring of the divine givingness through all. Compassion calls us to practice loving kindness for ourselves and for others, to be kind for the sake of being kind." Affirm, "I honor everyone I meet as a spark of the divine. I recognize that what affects one of us affects all of humanity." Divine inclusion. "We cannot exclude anything from a divine inclusion," Holmes wrote. "There is no experience, no idea, no person, no thought that is not divine. What would happen if we truly knew everyone we meet as the personification of the divine?" Affirm, "I see the divinity in everyone I meet. I remember there is no other, there is only God, and so it is." And from the Daily Word, the monthly affirmations for July, inner peace. "Established in the center of my being, I am still and peaceful." Wisdom. "God is the wisdom that flows as intelligence throughout every cell in my body and every thought in my mind." Healing. "I tell the truth of divine life to my body and my circumstances." Prosperity. "Focused in faith, I perceive the truth of divine abundance by which I prosper." World peace. "In the light of spiritual understanding, I behold divinity within all beings." And from this same issue, a poem by Kristen Tracy, "Appreciation." "The joy of simplicity makes life so sweet for me. A whisper, a gesture, give infinite pleasure. Likewise for silence, intuitive guidance, kindness and patience, and gentle complacence. Nature's tranquility, human nobility, gifts that surround me amaze and astound me." And from the same issue, an article by Reverend Maggie Alderman, "Lesson from a Lemon Tree." "Years ago, while living in Central Texas, I tried my hand at growing a Meyer lemon tree. I raised a tree I named Lucy from a sapling, tending to her in her big pot and celebrating every new bit of growth. The first year, she produced a whopping 2 lemons, which I quickly plucked and gobbled up. While I was thrilled, I wondered if there was something more I could do to encourage a greater harvest the next year. I learned I was already doing the right things, and the yield I anticipated would come with time. Soon, Lucy was covered in sweet-smelling blooms, each one carrying the promise of zesty sweetness, and she delivered. The following December, my lemon tree produced 8 mature lemons. This time, however, I was much slower to pick them. I let them hang on the tree as I waited to find a use for them that felt more intentional than flavoring a glass of iced tea. Days turned into weeks, and I soon noticed Lucy was once again covered in fragrant blossoms, promising an even better harvest, while the ripe lemons still clung to her branches. That is, until one by one those tiny white blossoms began to wilt and fall away, leaving no sign of fruit behind. I panicked. I wrongly assumed she needed more water and nearly drowned my precious tree. After that, I moved her to a sunnier spot indoors to protect her from the winter cold. My heart sank with each fallen blossom. I mourned the harvest I was sure would not come and feared I had caused the problem myself. Then I had an aha moment. Without research or expert advice, my inner wisdom spoke clearly. I had left ripe fruit on the tree while it was trying to prepare for the next season. Lucy simply did not have the energy to sustain both. New life wilted because I had not released what had already fulfilled its purpose. I was so pleased with the bounty she produced and was equally lacking in faith that she could do so again. My actions were rooted in fear, not faith. I was afraid that if I plucked what had been ripened, there would not be enough left. In holding on to what was good, I unintentionally limited what was trying to come next. Jesus taught, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Life multiplies through release. What has fulfilled its purpose must be let go so new life can emerge. New Thought writer H. Emily Cady wrote, "It is only as we let go that we can receive." My lemon tree lived this truth effortlessly. When I finally picked the ripe fruit, I felt a surprising sense of peace, an inner knowing that I had not diminished the future, but partnered with it. How often do we do the same? We cling to what has already ripened, roles, routines, successes, even ways of being, out of fear that releasing them means loss. Yet faith invites us to trust divine timing and intelligence. Release is not an ending. It is a clearing. Today, I choose to release with gratitude and faith, trusting that as I let go of what has been fulfilled, I make room for blossoms already forming, carrying the promise of a future even more abundant than I can imagine. Reverend Maggie Alderman is the director of the Silent Unity Prayer Ministry at Unity World Headquarters. She serves the global prayer movement through writing, storytelling, and revealing spiritual wisdom in ordinary moments. She lives in the Kansas City, Missouri area. We return to Science of Mind for my favorite column, Murphy's Dogma. Pause, P-A-W-S, with perspective. Time to love and play. For many of my human friends, the world appears to have been turned upside down while spinning out of control at a dizzying speed. That has happened to me a few times. During those times, I find myself looking for a safe place. Most times, a safe space is my bed. I look for safe people, like Bob and Judith. When I feel overwhelmed, Bob engages me in some kind of game. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but once I give in and allow myself to play, I stop feeling afraid and find myself filled with feelings of love and joy. Fear sucks the love out of life. When we're afraid, we try to solve our problems while drowning in chest-deep waves of fear. During hard times, Bob has a way of making Judith laugh and me play until the fear is small and the love is large. I've heard people argue that love is not all there is, but I can tell you that without love, there is nothing worth giving my attention to. So my advice to my human friends is to allow yourselves to love and be loved no matter what the conditions are around you. Love conquers all fear and holds the universe together. You can never go wrong when you focus your attention and energy on loving others and on this gift of life. Murphy the Human Whisperer watches over his human, Reverend Bob Luckin, when he isn't working on his column. Send your questions to murphy@csl.org. Regretfully, he cannot reply to all email. From the same issue, we turn to a media review by Stephanie Finn. Good Hang with Amy Poehler, podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Actress and comedian Amy Poehler began the Good Hang podcast in March 2025 so she could hang out with friends, colleagues, and inspiring guests. The weekly video podcast focuses on shared experiences, career stories, and finding joy in each other. Common themes include friendship, being present, supporting one another, and sharing humor and humanity during tough times. Each episode begins with Poehler talking well behind the back of that week's guest with someone they know well to get insight and a recommendation of a question to ask, with guests including Tina Fey, Adam Scott, Idris Elba, Ina Garten, and Carol Burnett. There is something for everyone. Listen on Apple, Spotify, or watch the video on YouTube. Million Bazillion, podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Million Bazillion is a podcast on Marketplace that inspires families to talk about money. Their catchphrase is, "We help dollars make more sense." Real kids send in their money questions, and they answer hypothetical questions like, if you could create a currency, what would it be named, and what would it look like? Hosts Bridget Bodner and Ryan Perez answer questions about money, the economy, and more by taking listeners on fun adventures. Each episode explains a complex concept in a way that is entertaining and educational. If you're looking for a podcast for the entire family, Million Bazillion is a great option to teach each member something new and start conversations on financial literacy that just may inspire future success. And from this same issue, an article by Swati Singh, The Shape of Healing. It was one of those days when rain finally drenched the soil after a long spell of heat. When the pitter-patter paused, I stepped out for a walk. The cool breeze felt good on my face, and the scent of wet earth filled my lungs. I took a route I rarely take, and I noticed the kapok tree standing tall by the side of the road. Its thorny bark seemed to melt over the adjacent railing. It reminded me of the melting clocks in Salvador Dali's painting, The Persistence of Memory, as if the trunk were slowly swallowing the iron while time stood still. I wondered, was the tree engulfing the railing because the railing encroached on its space, or were the iron rods the ones that first wounded the tree's bark? Occasionally, when arborists cut open an old tree, they find something unexpected inside the trunk, rusted barbed wire, nails, or fragments of fences. Decades earlier, the tree grew around these objects, slowly absorbing them into its expanding rings. The metal remains there for the rest of the tree's life, hidden beneath layers of growth. Standing before the kapok, I realized I was looking at a moment suspended somewhere in that slow process, years after the wound, yet still long before the story of the tree concluded. It made me wonder whether trees know something about healing that we only begin to understand. The psychology of healing. On my journey of self-healing and helping others, I learned that healing trauma isn't about erasing the memories, but helping the nervous system process them. We first remember them in their entirety, all the past events being threads our brain wove into a ball of yarn and stored away in hidden corners of our mind. It may sound contradictory to want to bring back those memories if the brain already placed them in a do-not-open carton, but unless we open that carton, we won't be able to heal the patterns it led us into. We have to unbox the memories so they stop dominating the present. The whole process of reliving and unboxing takes courage. You break down again and again until it starts to feel safe. The release is necessary. Psychology calls this exposure therapy. It is widely used for anxiety and PTSD. Instead of avoiding painful memories or fears, people gradually expose themselves to these conditions in a safe setting. Avoidance keeps the fear alive. Psychiatrist Bessel van der Kolk explains in The Body Keeps the Score that traumatic memories remain stored in the brain and body. Healing happens when those memories become integrated into a coherent life story instead of remaining frozen fragments of fear. Someone who experienced an accident, for example, may still remember it vividly, but after therapy they can recall it without their body reacting as though the danger were happening again. The self beneath the wound. The modern conversation around healing reflects awareness of emotional wounds, and while we are encouraged to heal our inner child and to break generational cycles, there is an unspoken assumption that is quite incorrect, that somehow the self is damaged and waiting to be fixed. The core is awareness itself. Our experiences and traumas shape our personalities, defenses, and our capacity for connection and compassion. Essentially, wounds belong to the story of our lives, but they are not the essence of who we are. Through healing, we rediscover the wholeness that was never entirely lost. However, that doesn't mean we return to being the person who we were before the trauma. Instead, we reorganize our patterns and transform. In some cases, this shift becomes existential. Many survivors develop something called metacognition, the ability to observe their own thoughts and reactions with awareness. Living in uncertain or stressful environments often trains the mind to notice subtle shifts in tone, expression, and emotional atmosphere. What first develops as a survival skill slowly becomes a deeper form of perception. Much like when wildfires occur, everything seems to be dead, yet often forests scarred by wildfire regenerate from the very ash that appears to mark their destruction. We, too, regrow from what appear to be our ruins. Transforming slowly. The tree was young. The thorned bark gave it away. These spines protect the tender trunk while it is still vulnerable. As the tree grows older and stronger, the thorns slowly disappear, their purpose fulfilled. The iron may remain where it first cut into the bark, but the tree does not stop growing because of it. Ring after ring, season after season, the trunk expands, quietly folding the injury into the larger story of its life. One day, even the thorns will fade, no longer needed once the trunk thickens and the roots deepen. The past remains. The metal stays. Yet the tree keeps growing. Perhaps healing works the same way. It is not about making the past disappear, nor is it about returning to who we once were. It is simply about allowing life to keep moving around the places where we were wounded and quietly toward the deeper wholeness that was there all along. I returned home after encountering the kapok tree, sat with the day's reflection, and made a note to myself. Heal gently, much of the wound was never yours to carry. We pause for a moment to remind you that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, 24 hours of programming from over 300 publications, and you're currently listening to the Philosopher Program with your host, Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer reader, Candy Lewis. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. We return now to The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, Messages and Signs from Our Pets on the Other Side by Karen A. Anderson. And we had started Chapter 9, How Animal Communication Works. And she's sharing now some stories of particular animals. And we pick up with Murungu. When animals don't know how to explain something, they will send images of the message they want to convey. Such was the case with Murungu, a 14-year-old Great Dane mix. Shortly after he crossed over, Murungu's energy came through with his owner Diana's parents, who were also on the other side. Diana was elated to hear that her parents greeted him when he crossed over. During the session, Murungu told me to talk about his towel or blanket and said it was in a special place. He wasn't able to describe where it was, so he showed me a car. Diana confirmed that she made a car seat cover out of his blanket, so he will always be with her, even when she is driving. Murungu also asked me to mention a bench. Diana just happened to be sitting on a bench in her sunroom during our call. Animals send emotions. Emotions are one of the most common ways that animals convey a message. Whether they are living or deceased, animals can send an energetic message containing different feelings. An example of the power of emotions would be if you have ever walked into a room after someone was arguing, the air can be so thick you can cut it with a knife. Even though the argument has ended, the emotional energy remains. Emotions erupted. During one of my animal communication workshops in North Carolina, a woman named Barbara was practicing her communication skills with a deceased cat named Vito. She suddenly broke into tears and could not stop crying. Flustered and emotional, she explained she felt a sense of abandonment but could not tell us why. She said the powerful emotions washed over her in waves. The cat's owner, Leon, explained what had happened. He and his wife were in the military and deployed overseas. They could not take Vito with them, and they were devastated, as they loved him like a human child. A friend took the cat, and sadly, they left Vito behind. Leon said they grieved as if they had lost a child. About a month later, Vito bolted out the door and disappeared. He was never found, and Leon had no idea what happened to him. They never resolved their grief and still held on to that sorrow as if it just happened. Once I heard what happened, I opened up a space for the cat's energy to join us. I explained to Vito what happened and why his humans left him so many years ago. Leon was finally able to express his feelings and devotion to his beloved cat. Within minutes, the healing process began, and the air around us became lighter and calmer. The emotionally charged atmosphere softened, and I watched both Leon and Vito move from a painful memory into a peaceful place. Barbara picked up on Vito's emotions, but could not determine what the cause was. By opening up the lines of communication, everyone involved was able to understand what happened. The pain was gone. The magical healing effects of communicating with animals never cease to amaze me. Chapter 10, Hearing and Seeing Animal Spirits. An animal's eyes have the power to speak a great language. Martin Bube. When I first began my career as an animal communicator, I learned primarily on my own. I studied animal behavior and read every book I could find on psychic development. That's right about the time I discovered the famous psychic John Edward. I recorded every episode of his television show, Crossing Over, and watched them over and over again. I learned a lot by watching John's techniques and listening to his style of delivering messages. Since John is primarily clairaudient, meaning he can hear the spirits talking, I formed my style around that method. My main goal was to be able to hear the animals speak, so with practice, I developed a strong psychic ear. Many years ago, I was conducting a gallery reading at a psychic expo in Spokane when a woman in the audience named Casey showed me a picture of her dog Bella. As soon as I looked at Bella's photo, I heard the dog say, "Nervous, nervous, nervous." When I shared this message with Casey, she said that Bella suffered from extreme anxiety, and that described her perfectly. Soon I began to hear all the animals speaking to me, and that's when I wrote my book, Hear All Creatures, as I could literally hear them. My dear friend, Ron, had a Jack Russell named Jilly that crossed over at the age of 16. During one of our many sessions, Jilly told me to talk about spiral circles, some bones, and a spear. Of course, none of this made any sense to me, but I told Ron what Jilly said, and he could barely contain his shock. He sent me this note. After Jilly had died, I made a Celtic spiral in the backyard with concentric circles, he explained. I put her remains, her ashes, bones, in the center, and last but not least, I placed a very powerful spear in the center of the spiral, Karen. The only one who knows this is my wife. Jilly described it perfectly, down to her last detail, even though it had happened after she died. Another time, I was driving into town and talking to Ron on my Bluetooth. He had just completed a shamanic journey and visited Jilly on the other side. A shamanic journey is when part of the soul is free to leave the body during a meditative journey to heal or visit another soul in another dimension. During that visit, Ron gave her a gift. He asked me if Jilly could show me that gift. Ron, I'm driving right now. I can check in when I get back home. Then suddenly I saw Jilly pushing a red ball with her nose. Okay, wait 1 minute. Jilly says you gave her a red ball as a gift, I said, thinking to myself, there's probably a law out there somewhere that says it is against the law to drive while communicating with animals. That is incredible, he said. You can see what I gave Jilly during one of my journeys. Wow, that's impressive. After that, it was just a matter of time before the animal spirits started to appear before me. Once I gazed into their eyes, it was like opening up the pages of their life. Every so often, an animal spirit would show up in the most unusual place. I was at the grocery store one day when I saw the spirit of a crow hopping around on a man's shoulder. The man had no idea the bird was following him. I glanced in his cart and saw a bag of wild bird seed. I felt the love the bird had for the man, and I couldn't help but smile as he walked by. He thought I was flirting with him as he immediately struck up a conversation with me. I didn't have the heart to tell him I was smiling at the spirit of his crow, not him. Another time I was getting my hair cut when I saw the spirit of a cat circling round the feet of another patron. I started chatting with the woman, and she told me her elderly cat had recently passed away. Our departed pets like to spend time with us and are never more than a thought away. When they aren't around us, just imagine them gallivanting around the cosmos in the love-filled effervescence of the afterlife. Part 2, Chapter 11, The Other Side. There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. What is the other side? The other side is where our animals' energy exists after their physical body dies. It is another dimension, also referred to as heaven or eternity, that overlaps our atmosphere. Once an animal leaves its body, there are many different entry and exit points, called portals, through which their energy or soul travel between Earth and the other side. The animals tell me they can appear just about anywhere here on Earth. They can move back and forth between our dimension and theirs with ease. Their favorite entry point is usually in familiar territories, such as their favorite bed, chair, or windowsill. Some like to re-enter through outside portals in the yard, such as a field, the barn, or any other place that they spent a lot of time. Where is the other side? As you're sitting in your chair reading this book, put your arm out in front of you. Your arm is now on the other side. Now reach down toward your foot. That foot and that hand are on the other side. It's not some faraway universe or miles above us. It's right here, all around us. The overlapping of this other world or dimension is what allows our departed pets to interact with us after their physical death. Some speculate that the other side is about 2 or 3 feet off the ground, which would explain why some apparitions appear to be floating in the air. Some animal spirits appear to me at ground level near my feet or jumping in my lap, while others seem to float and hover in the thin air. Just like our pets, we are all spiritual beings having a physical experience on Earth. One day, when our time on Earth ends, we will move into other dimensions just as our pets have done before us. According to the animals, The other side is a comfortable, loving, joyous space that encompasses the same areas they enjoyed in physical form. The main difference is now the animal's spirit or energy can go anywhere they want. A fence, a yard, or the walls of a house no longer restrict their movement. Tangerine the cat. I've had sessions where deceased animals are with their humans at work, in the car, on vacation, and many other unusual places. A deceased cat named Tangerine told me to say the word toothpaste when I opened up his photo before a session one day. Toothpaste? I asked the orange tabby. Okay, I'll talk about toothpaste. Sometimes crazy messages come through that don't make sense to me, but it's my job to deliver the message. No matter how strange, funny, or sad, I am simply the messenger and share whatever comes through. So when Tangerine's human mom, Kathy, called in, I told her what Tangerine said. I'm not sure why, but I'm supposed to talk about toothpaste. What does that reference mean to you? I asked. I can't believe you're saying that. I was just at the store today and bought a tube of toothpaste. That's all I bought. Was Tangerine at the store with me? Yes, indeed. He saw what you were buying and wanted to let you know he is still around you. Kathy started to cry, but they were tears of happiness. I've been missing him so much. He was my world, my everything. I was standing in line buying the toothpaste, thinking about him, because the man in front of me was buying cat food. That's amazing that he was right there with me. Many clients often tell me they have felt or sensed their departed pet around them. Some report that they saw their beloved pet out of the corner of their eye or felt them jump on the bed. These things truly happen, and our pets can visit us any time. Talk about the round, glittery thing, a deceased Maltese named Buddy said during his session. What is this? I asked the dog, not quite sure what he was showing me. I don't know, but it catches the light, he said, as I saw a round, sparkly globe flash across my mind. As it turned out, his mom, Barbara, had a disco ball hanging from the ceiling in her office. I love it when animals share something they see right at that moment. I also kept seeing the color blue around Buddy. Barbara told me she keeps his favorite blue blanket on his doggy bed next to her desk. Munchkin and the Crumpets. Even though that sounds like the name of a band, it actually involved a session with a deceased dog named Munchkin. Talk about crumpets, came the odd message from the deceased dachshund. I had no idea how much that message would mean to Munchkin's mom, Darlene. Darlene was puzzled. Wow, how can he know that? Did you eat crumpets, I asked, not even sure what they were. I knew the British liked them, but what a strange reference for the dog to send to me. I had crumpets this morning for breakfast. They're like English muffins. I've never had them before, but they were a gift from a friend. Munchkin was a total chow hound, and I thought of him as I was eating them. It made me sad to think he may never find me in my new home. Darlene had been mourning the loss of her sweet boy for months and could not sense the little dog's energy around her. She was worried that Munchkin wouldn't be able to find her due to a recent move across several states. I felt so guilty for moving, Darlene said. We buried him in the backyard and then found out we had to relocate for my husband's job. It felt like we were abandoning him. I haven't done anything but cry and mope around the new house. I haven't even met any of the neighbors. Well, worry no more. Munchkin had no problem finding you, and now you have a full-time breakfast companion. I smiled through the phone. I received a card from Darlene several weeks later telling me how renewed she felt now that she knew Munchkin was with her. Her whole outlook on life changed dramatically since she heard that one little message. She started socializing with her new neighbors, joined a grief recovery group, and started volunteering at a local animal shelter. I feel like I can breathe again, Karen. Thank you for giving me back my life. I am always honored to hear things like that, but all the credit goes to the animals. I'm merely the messenger. Who could know that one little message could be so healing? What is it like on the other side? Animals tell me that the other side is a loving, joyful space, surrounded by souls that honor them and care about them. Most of the time, our departed pets are with our personal soul group, consisting of family, friends, and loved ones, both human and animal. There are some instances when animals will come through with an angelic being, archangels, spirit guides, or other people, and animals that you do not know. It feels wonderful to be in the space with them. Imagine floating effortlessly in a lagoon of warm, crystal clear water. The temperature is just right, about 76 to 80 degrees. The air smells fresh and clean, and a calm breeze softly blows. No aches or pains exist as they did in the physical world. Without a body to restrict them, the animals travel back and forth through dimensions with ease, hanging out in favorite spots as they would in life. They can be in more than one place at one time, and again, are not bound by physical limitations. "I feel fantastic," said a recently deceased cat named Boo Boo. "I can fly." And with that, I saw the energy of this silky black cat whisk playfully around my office. Animals will often speak joyfully and gleefully about their life here on Earth and rarely want to delve into anything painful or uncomfortable. Their favorite topic is themselves, and their next favorite subject is, well, themselves. They will also share information about their home, their human caretakers, and other little interesting tidbits. They like to talk about things that are important to them, and the range of topics varies with each animal. During one session, a deceased dog named Leo kept dropping a tennis ball at my feet, staring at me, and waiting for me to throw it. His mom, Catherine, said that was his favorite game when he was alive. Just think about what your pet loved to do when they were alive, and that is likely what they're doing on the other side. Does my pet miss me? I'm often asked if a pet misses their humans after they cross over, and I'm sorry to say the answer is no, but let me explain why. Your departed animals are never far from you and continue to be a part of your life. Not much changes for them when they cross over to the other side. They're still able to see you and love you, so they rarely say they miss you. It may be difficult to hear that, but try not to get your feelings hurt. It's actually a good thing because that means they're still around you. Will my pet be jealous if I adopt a new animal? Many times a client will ask if their departed pet will be jealous or angry with them for getting another pet. In most cases, the answer is no. Your animals want you to enjoy your life to the fullest. When you express love towards another animal, your departed pet can feel that love too. Animals also have the ability to let go of anything that does not serve them. They rarely hold a grudge or speak ill of their human or other animals. Occasionally, I'll hear about sibling rivalry or perhaps a clash between resident pets, but for the most part, they will refer to it and then they let it go. Unlike humans, animals don't like to rehash old wounds or difficult times. Most departed pets are genuinely happy and feeling good whenever I check in on them. Can my pet see me? The animals tell me that when they cross over to the other side, they see us as glowing orbs of light. In their mind's eye, we still look the same to them. Based on their memories, our vibrational energy makes us recognizable. For example, watch an animal react when their human puts a mask over their face. The animal won't recognize the mask, but as soon as they hear or smell their human, they suddenly know who it is, even with the mask on. Our aura, or the energy around us, and our unique vibrational structure is as recognizable to them as our faces. No matter where we are in this world, our pets can pick up on our unique energetic imprint. Animals can also see and feel their surroundings, just as they did when they were alive. That's why you may see or feel their energy zipping around the house, just as they did when they were alive and well. A deceased golden retriever named Winchester told us during a session one day that his mom and dad's energy glowed like a brilliantly lit light bulb when they were happy. He described seeing bright light around the center of their chest, heart, and faces. Who do animals see on the other side? Animals see other spirits on the other side, the same way they used to see us when they were alive. They can also feel and sense the energy of the person or familiar places. Almost everything happens telepathically on the other side. When you want to be with someone, you're instantly around them. If you want to go to the beach, you're there in the blink of an eye. They can also feel and sense the energy of other people, animals, or familiar places. Our pets can still see us, but since they don't have a physical body anymore, they don't see with their eyes. They sense things or see things with their energy. Think about standing in line at the grocery store. Your eyes are looking forward, but you can sense someone behind you in line. You can feel them in your space. You don't have to turn around to see the person. You sense their energy near you. The same applies to how our pets sense us from the other side. How do our pets communicate on the other side? Communicating with souls on the other side is similar to how we communicate in our dreams. Notice how you don't have to speak in your dreams. Your thoughts are all you need to accomplish whatever you want. When a loved one is in your dreams, you don't necessarily recognize their face, but you sense their energy and you immediately know each other. We can do just about anything in a dream. We can fly like a bird or swim underwater without needing oxygen. All of this is just like being on the other side. When I communicate with a deceased animal, I am primarily clairaudient, meaning I hear their words. However, some animals are better at sending images, and others are better at conveying emotions. Some pets use all of those methods when they communicate with me, so I have to modify my abilities and raise my vibration to fit each individual animal. Some pets are really good at sending messages, while others aren't. It is similar to talking to a person. Some people are really good communicators, while others aren't. Some people will express themselves with a lot of emotion or gestures, and others will be more reserved. The animals are the same way. I have to prepare for just about anything during a session, including the clients themselves. I'm also working with their energy, and sometimes it can make or break a session. Be sure you bring calm, positive energy to any psychic or animal communication session. If you're not up to it, distracted, or not feeling well, it is best to reschedule. Bringing positive energy to a session will make the lines of communication open up for the best session possible. Are our pets always around us after they die? After your pet crosses over, they tend to stay close by, keeping an eye on you and hanging around in their favorite places. You may feel them near you and sense their loving energy very strongly around your home. As time goes by, their energy may not feel as intense as it once was. There are several reasons for this. Your pets continue to learn and grow as energetic beings after they cross over. As their soul evolves, some will participate in different activities in the afterlife. These activities may include helping other humans and animals cross over or preparing to reincarnate and return to Earth. Other pets may merge with a group consciousness. Their spiritual path may take them into other parts of the world or even into other universes, depending on what their journey as a spiritual being consists of. The longer your pet has been on the other side, the more transparent they become to you here on Earth. Each soul is unique and stays connected to you while they follow their perfect and divine path. Can you still talk to them if they've reincarnated? Some psychics believe that you cannot communicate with a pet if they've reincarnated because they're now in another body living another life. Yet, others say it is possible to connect with that soul. I'll go into more detail about this later in the chapter about reincarnation, but for now, I'll tell you that I can connect with any animal at any time, regardless of the status of reincarnation. Maybe that's just my style, but I've never had a problem connecting with either the animal soul you remember or the newly reincarnated soul. I've been asked if there is a time frame as to how far back I can go to connect with a childhood pet. I have yet to find a limit. I have a few clients that are in their 90s, and I can easily connect with any of their departed pets. Chapter 12. Signs from the Afterlife. Your loved ones are just a thought away. John Holland. This is one of my favorite topics. There are so many different signs from the afterlife. It boggles the mind. After your pet crosses over, they will often try to let you know they're still around you. Sometimes they will appear vividly in your dreams, and other times they may brush up against you just as they did when they were alive. Not everyone can feel or sense their pet's energy, but most will tell me they're never more than a thought away. "Why can't I feel my dog's spirit around me?" asked Jesse after he lost his 13-year-old pit bull mix named Axel. Axel looked at me with the saddest eyes. "I'm never far away," the dog said. "Tell him I'm here." And with that, he showed me an alarm clock. "I see an alarm clock, Jesse. Does that make sense to you?" "Why would Axel show me that?" Jesse told me that just about every weekend since Axel died, his alarm clock goes off at 5:30 a.m. all by itself. "Oh my gosh, that's Axel? We used to go for an early morning jog on the weekends," Jesse said. "I wondered if he had something to do with that." An animal's energy can manipulate electronics. It takes a lot of energy for animals to manifest in any form. I explained to Jesse that Axel was manipulating his electronic equipment because it's easy for him to do that. Axel is pure energy, so what better way to interfere with your electronics than more energy? "That makes sense," Jesse said. "He loves you so much. He's letting you know he is around by setting off the alarm clock." The animals tell me that they do the best they can to let us know they are around us. They will utilize the resources that are around you. Your pet needs energy to manipulate objects and send signs. You can supply them with a form of spiritual fuel, which may allow them to send more signs. Spiritual fuel consists of loving thoughts, prayers, and happy memories. Imagine you're topping off their fuel supply with this powerful energy. Over time, you may begin to sense their subtle energy or start dreaming about your pet. So many signs. Other signs from the afterlife include seeing butterflies, ladybugs, or dragonflies when your pet's spirit is near. Pets will also send feathers or coins to let you know they are with you. Some get really creative, and you'll hear their name on the radio or see it posted on a billboard. Some pets will even move objects around. A deceased dog named Lefty told me he opened the cabinet where his dad, Michael, kept the dog treats. Michael laughed out loud, saying he thought he was going crazy. He would wake up in the morning and the cabinet door would be opened. Now he loves seeing the door opened as he knows Lefty stopped by to show his love. Imagine how difficult it would be to move an object without a physical body. That reminds me of the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze. He portrayed a character named Sam who is unexpectedly murdered. Sam had to learn how to manipulate objects after he died. He had to practice for a long time just to learn how to kick a can and move a penny without a body. Even if you don't feel your pet around you, it doesn't mean they're gone. They're never more than a thought away and anxiously await your loving thoughts and happy memories. Monkey the Cat. A client named Samantha contacted me for a session after her 15-year-old cat Monkey crossed over to the other side. The gray cat provided detailed messages about how he visited his mom in her dreams to let her know he was okay. He also showed me a frame with red hearts on it and a baby duck. "Do you understand those references?" I asked. "I think so." Samantha's voice was barely audible. "Everyone dreams about their pets. Why can't I feel him? I miss him so much. It's just not the same without him." I explained to Samantha that not everyone dreams about their departed pets. Some clients tell me they would do anything to have a vivid dream about their deceased pet. "Will you please tell my boy that I want to feel him next to me? Tell him I can't live without him, please," she begged. Samantha was sad because she wasn't receiving the type of message she wanted. Several days later, Samantha listened to the recording of the session and realized that Monkey had shared several detailed messages that only he could know. His picture was in a frame with red hearts next to her bed. His favorite toy was a little duck. Monkey shared those specific messages so Samantha would know he was around and still a part of her life. The signs are all around us. A client named Marie had a session with her deceased cat named Pete. Before the session started, Pete asked me to talk about the lamp next to the bed and to say good night. I asked Marie why Pete would mention the word good night and talk about a lamp. She said that after Pete died, she would wake up in the middle of the night sensing him on her bed. Each time that happened, the light on her nightstand would flicker. She said Pete's favorite time of day was at night when they would cuddle together. He always slept on the side of the bed next to the lamp, and every time she turned the light off at night, she would say good night to Pete and tell him how much she loved him. During another session with a client named Greg, his deceased dog named Jake kept showing me a dog door. I saw the flap of the door opening and closing repeatedly with a strange clicking sound. Greg smiled through the phone as he told me that after Jake crossed over, the flap of the dog door had been opening and closing by itself. He said it made a unique clicking sound as the magnetic ends reattached. Greg thought he was going crazy, and it made him question his sanity. He was thrilled and relieved to hear that Jake was still around the house and making his presence known. In each of these stories, you can see that our pets send us signs to let us know they are near. Most of the time, they will do something they used to do when they were alive. If you haven't sensed your pet's presence or noticed any unusual activity, try not to be disheartened. It is not an indication that they don't love you or are no longer around you. Some pets are just more determined than others to get our attention. I've had some pets that send many signs of their presence and others that don't. When I check in with them, they tell me it is merely a matter of character or personal style and not due to any lack of love. A deceased Great Dane named Cooper told me about a picture and a loud banging noise during a session one day. His mom, Terry, wasn't sure what the message meant and said she would give it some thought. After the session, she told me that she had a painting of Cooper leaning against the wall as she was deciding where to hang it in the house. The painting suddenly fell over by itself and made a loud noise as it hit the ground. Cooper was letting his mom know he was still around her and approved of the painting. Cooper would also leave a very special calling card whenever he visited Terry, exactly 11 cents. Cooper crossed over on May 11th, and from then on, Terry would find the 11 cents everywhere she went. It was never two nickels and a penny. It was always a dime and a penny. She would find the 11 cents in the elevator, the driveway, the doctor's office. It was Cooper's way of saying, "Hi, Mom. I'm here with you." Animals can feel our emotions. When we're struggling with a loss, our pets can feel our emotions just as they did when we were here on Earth. Working through your feelings can have a positive effect on your departed pets. When you honor your grief, it moves you forward into healing, and they in turn receive the benefit of that healing. After the loss of a pet, emotions can be intense. It's okay to feel sad and overwhelmed during this time of grief. These emotions will not harm your pet or hold them back from their spiritual journey. Your pet loves you and wants you to heal as soon as you can. You may struggle with your feelings as you learn how to live without the pet you love. Be patient with yourself. The grief process can take days, weeks, or months to complete. There is no time frame to follow. I like to do little things that make me happy when I'm grieving, such as splurging on a vase of freshly cut flowers, listening to my favorite music, or taking a walk in the woods. In time, your body, mind, and spirit will be ready to move forward. Your pet will be so happy to see you shifting into a place of healing. I'll share a more in-depth look at the grieving and healing process in a later chapter. And this is a perfect place to pause so we can continue with this wonderful book that I hope you're enjoying as much as I am in the coming weeks. As always, I ask if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact the station and ask them to email me, text me, or leave me a voicemail message so I can address it on air. And as always, I wish you a beautiful, joyous, and peaceful new week, and I look forward to being with you next time on our Philosopher Program.